This is Smart Consulting Sourcing, the only podcast about consulting procurement or how to buy consulting services. You'll get tips on how to use consulting, buy consulting, and managing the consulting. And now your host, Ellen Lafitte.
Welcome back to Smart Consulting Sourcing, the only podcast for in-depth insight into the world of consulting procurement. My name is Elan and I'm your host. And today we'll be talking about value-based pricing in consulting. It's a very interesting topic and I'm really excited to dig deep into it. So last week we decoded consulting prices and what really influences the so-called numbers. We learned about how consulting prices hinge on people's expertise, seniority, team composition, project-specific delivery model, project durations, and whatnot. You know, but today we will take a closer look at value-based pricing in consulting. So buckle up as we're about to embark on a very interesting journey. Did you miss our latest episode? No worries. You can catch up on all our insightful discussion anytime on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube. And if you're hungry for more, you can head over to consultingquest.com for white papers, ebooks, and even transcript of a podcast. And if you're loving the insight, why not share the love, right? Pass this episode along to your circle and drop us a review. It helps more than you know. And we've got also some thrilling workshop on the horizon, from honing your negotiating skills with consulting firms to nailing those RFPs. So if you're interested to know more, just shoot an email to hl@consultingquest.com. And I can't wait to see you there. All right then. Now let's get back to today's discussion, which will be all about value-based pricing in consulting. We'll look at what value-based pricing is all about, its advantages, its challenges, and how to evaluate the expected values and lots more. So no further ado, let's get straight into today's episode. Today we're zeroing in on a fascinating aspect of consulting pricing. We'll be delving into value-based pricing and its exciting corollary, that is, value sharing fee structures. Now, most of us are familiar with the traditional pricing models in consulting, right? It usually boils down to a daily rate multiplied by the number of days worked on a project. And this rate is a blend of total cost, you know, the number of billable days, and of course, a slice of profit on top. While this method is clear and transparent, it doesn't always dance in step with the true value delivered. That's where value-based pricing comes in. It's a model that shifts the past life from cost to, you guessed it, value. So it's a broader, more expensive way of looking at how services are priced, one that ensures the fees you pay are directly tied to the benefits you reap. So value-based pricing is gaining traction in the consulting world for a very compelling reason. It aligns fees with the outcomes of value delivered to the client rather than effort expended by the consultant. So have you ever wondered why some of the largest consulting firms are reticent to break down their fees into detailed daily rates and specific time allocations? It's likely because they are employing value-based pricing, you know, stepping the traditional mechanics of workload times daily rates. Indeed, value-based pricing in consulting transcends the traditional metrics of hours worked or the headcount involved in a project. Instead, it zeroes in on the impact and transformation the consulting work brings to your business. This approach can be likened to a willingness to pay model, where the price is anchored not on the inputs, but on the value derived from the project. So consider this. If a consulting engagement is poised to deliver substantial value to the company, say by unlocking new revenue streams, significantly cutting costs, or facilitating a transformative strategic shift, why should the compensation be limited to the bare hours spent on the project? This perspective brings to light the essence of value-based pricing. It's about fairness and recognition of the consultant's role in enabling the value of and the capture of this value. So now let's get down to the brass tacks and explore why this model is like a breath of fresh air in the consulting world. For one, it aligns the stars. You know, both clients and consultants orbit around the shared goal of maximizing value, creating a universe where mutual interests reign supreme. The risk for the clients is about as limited as the chances of finding a pen that works in the first time in the meeting room, very slim. And the commitment for the client side can start as modestly as a small flat fee, as if, you know, dipping a toe in the waters of potential savings. But as we navigate this new frontier, we must also be mindful of the asteroids in our path, right? Defining the baseline and condition for success requires the precision of a space mission trajectory calculation, almost. And without clear, measurable objective, there is risk the client might end up paying a premium for value that's more nebulous than the cloud in a nebula. And when it comes to intangible deliverables, those without a direct measurable impact on the profit and loss statement, applying this model can feel like trying to lasso a comet. It's challenging, if not slightly quixotic. Moreover, you know, traditional consulting firms often view value sharing models, which is the corollary of value-based pricing, with the same enthusiasm as a cat does to a bat. And why? Because it disrupts the well-oiled pricing and risk management models. Reserving a squadron for four consultants on the promise of payment for only two is a gamble that doesn't really fit onto their ledger. So when we embrace value-based pricing in consulting, a pivotal question arises: how to evaluate the value we can expect? And this is where the concept of return on investment becomes essential, serving as a cornerstone for understanding and justifying the shift towards value-based pricing. Firstly, let's consider the link between the consultant fees and the anticipated value of the project. The premise of value-based pricing is not just about paying for outcomes. It's about ensuring these outcomes offer a significant return on your investment. For a consulting project under a value-based pricing model, establishing an expected ROI that is both ambitious and achievable is key. So consider, for instance, setting an ROI range of 5 to 10 times the investment. This doesn't just pull out a number of things out of thin air. It grants the project's ambition into reality, you know, setting a benchmark for what constitutes value in this context, in the context of this project, if you will. And it means that the value you anticipate from the project should be reasonably attainable. And we target that, while challenging, is within the realm of possibility, given the consultant's expertise and the project scope. Facing a certainty in the expected value from a consulting project is a legitimate concern, and often making the leap into a value-based pricing model seem risky. And indeed, you know, predicting and quantifying outcome for some project is not straightforward. So when faced with such unpredictability, how can you commit without taking on too much risk? That's where the strategy of performance-based fees, which is a refined solution that ensure fees are aligned with the value, actual value delivered, particularly when a project outcomes are clear cut, is really useful. You know, this approach relies on a tiered fee structure designed to match payment with varying degrees of project success. This is the essence of value sharing pricing, adapting the cost to the level of impact achieved. At the base, you can set a fee that aligns with the lowest reasonable expectations for the project, the minimal value you're confident the consulting engagement will deliver. This creates your safety net, ensuring that you're not overcommitting resources relative to the ascertained value. On the surface, value sharing might look like procurement's dream come true. Now, it seems to offer the best of both worlds: minimum upfront commitment and the luxury of paying only after seeing tangible results. Sounds like a no-brainer, doesn't it? However, as we peel back the layers, you know, the complexity of implementing a value sharing model in real-world scenarios becomes apparent. In practice, value sharing requires a finely tuned balance between expectation and execution. It's not just about setting goals and waiting to pay the invoice once those goals are hit. There's a foundational level of trust and partnership that needs to be established first. And consultants and clients must work closely to define success, to measure it accurately, and agree on the value each milestone or outcome truly represents. So when you're embarking on a new project, pinpointing the right fee structure can significantly boost your company's value gain. And the optimal approach hinges on various factors, you know, the project essence, the deliverables nature, the surrounding context, and your flexibility with fees, not to mention the depth of commitment you're seeking from your consulting partner. value sharing stands out as a strategic choice where you're aiming high, expecting clients to not just meet but exceed standard expectation. This model is about tightly syncing your consultant incentive with your goals, promising them a piece of the victory pie, if you will, if the project hits its mark. And it's particularly effective for initiatives like slashing costs or fine-tuning prices and launching new ventures. But let's cut to the chase. You know, adopting a value-sharing approach isn't a magical solution that automatically aligns every star in the consulting customers. At a glance, it seems like your objective and the consultants are moving in concert. Yet the reality can be more nuanced. You know, consultants driving by the allure of maximizing their gains might lean towards maximizing immediate outcomes, possibly at the expense of your long-term interest. And to steer clear of this potential pitfall, strong governance is non-negotiable. It's about ensuring that while consultants play a pivotal role in driving the project forward, every step taken is in harmony with your overarching strategy and company culture. And remember, even as consultants take the wheel in execution, you're the one charting the course, right? Moreover, the timing of payments under a value-sharing agreement can be a double-edged sword. While it's appealing to delay payments until the results are delivered, this model also demands that clients are prepared to recognize and reward these results fairly and promptly. You know, the consultant's motivation hinges on the belief that the extra effort will be compensated, not just eventually, but in accordance with the value they've added. And then there's a matter of risk. You know, value sharing shifts some of the financial risk to the consultants, who invest their time and expertise upfront, banking on the project's success. For clients, their risk transfer can seem advantageous, but it also necessitates a willingness to pay for success at a potential higher rate than traditional fee structures. And this is because consultants need to account for the risk of non-payment in their pricing models, especially when outcomes are less certain. So while value-sharing models hold immense potential to align interest and drive exceptional results, it's not as simple as it seems on paper. You know, it requires careful negotiation, clear communication, and a shared commitment to partnership. Both parties need to dive into the arrangement with their eyes open, you know, aware of the mutual benefits and the challenges that lie ahead. You know, unlocking the power of value sharing fees is a bit like setting ambition goals for your team. It's about understanding the basics that are covered by the regular pay and then defining what extra achievements deserve a bonus. How do you pinpoint these extras? And more importantly, how do you measure that success? So here's a practical approach that you can use. The first level is to zero in on the essential outcomes that you're expecting from the project. What's baseline for success, you know? Next, identify those stretch goals that would significantly enhance the project's value for your organization. You assign a clear value to this goal and establish a method to measure success, you know, keeping it SMART. I'm sure you know about SMART objectives. It's specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. And of course, consider potential hiccups along the way on both sides of the equation. Now, let's look at some real-world scenarios where value-sharing models can have driven success. First example is launching a new product. Every day saved in getting to the market is invaluable, right? Here, you can link the consultant's compensation to how quickly they deliver. You set a firm deadline with a specific payout. Deliver earlier without compromising quality, and there's a bonus for each day saved. And this approach isn't just about speed. It's about maintaining high standards under tight timelines, applicable to scenarios like accelerating development cycles. Now let's look at another example. Consider a project aimed at reducing overhead in the less critical spending areas. You might start with the diagnosis phase, offering a flat fee plus a bonus for early wins. And this next phase compensation could be tied to the savings identified, structured about a smaller base fee with bonuses for realized savings over time. Since these savings often recur annually, you're sharing a slice of the pie of the first year pie only. Everything else is in your pocket, right? Now, it can be also a project where you aim to boost profit with through pricing. You know, an airline that is tweaking its pricing, a ticket pricing strategy. The consultant's goal is to help boost revenue by 100 million or 10 million, whatever. It achieves that, and that they earn a flat fee, surpass it, and then for every additional 1 million in revenues, they receive a bonus. So it's a clear incentive for driving substantial revenue growth. In each of these cases, value sharing aligns everyone's interest toward hitting those high marks. But remember that the magic of value sharing isn't just about setting the target, it's in the careful crafting of these goals, ensuring they're ambitious yet attainable, and keeping the lines of communication open every step of the way. It's about partnership, it's about strategic goal setting, and ultimately, it's about sharing the rewards of success. So what's the bottom line in value sharing in consulting? The key to success is in the details, specifically setting a clear starting line and establishing measurable parameters. It's not just about agreeing on a goal. It's about laying the groundwork for how that goal is measured. And first thing first, you and your consultants need to be on the same page regarding the baseline. What's the starting point from which improvement and impact will be measured? This sets the stage for a fair assessment on the project success. Next, pick a time frame for measurement that aligns with the nature of your project. Not too short, that it doesn't capture the project full impact, but not too long, that the connection to the project efforts becomes tenuous. And also, it's wise to anticipate and agree on how unforeseen events might adjust your game plan. You know, life is full of curveballs, and your project is no exception. So having a plan for the what-ifs ensures that unexpected changes don't derail your value-sharing agreement. And once the project wraps up, it's time to crunch the numbers. Identify which changes or improvement can directly be traced back to the project. This is where your prep work pays off, allowing you to calculate the project tangible impact accurately. So in wrapping up our episode, it's clear that this approach isn't a one-size-fits-all solution. It's not suitable for every project, nor will it fit the bill for every client or every consulting firm out there. The path of value sharing is strewn with its own set of challenges and potential points of contention between clients and consultants. But here's the crux of the matter. The success of value sharing hinges on approaching discussion with an open and honest mindset. If your primary goal is to maximize value while sticking to the lowest possible fee, you might want to rethink. Why? Because value sharing models, while promising added value, often result in higher fees compared to traditional consulting arrangements. The value of value sharing is a trade-off. Consultants accepting lower initial fees in exchange for the promise of potential higher rewards upon delivering significant impact. This model demands a willingness to share risk on both sides. It's about balancing the scales between upfront investment and the possibility of greater returns down the line. It's a partnership that thrives on mutual trust and shared ambition, not a loophole for cutting costs or at the expense of the consultants. Now, as we wrap up this episode, for those eager to explore more about the topic we've discussed earlier today, you can check out episode 97 of this podcast, Consulting Fees, the State of the Market. It's available on consultingquest.com under the thought leadership section. So in that particular episode, I break down consulting cost and explain how consultants define their fees, as well as examine the different fee structures. And you can also visit consus.io for the article Decoding Consulting Fee Structures, Insiders, Insights, where we talk about the key parameters used in defining the pricing for a consulting project, the most common types of consulting fees, and how to select the right fee structure for a project. And next week, we're diving into a very hot topic that's sure to turn your heads, or hope. Yes, you're correct. We'll be digging deep into how to negotiate consulting fees effectively. And it's a piece of the puzzle that's often overlooked, yet fundamentally shapes the negotiation landscape. And we will be going all in next week. So do join me for that. All right, then. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today as we zeroed in on the value-based pricing and consulting. I really hope you find it very useful and that you enjoyed the episode as much as I did. I'll catch you all next week for another deep dive into the consulting procurement world. And your thoughts and feedbacks are always welcome. So feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn or drop an email at acl@consultingquest.com. You know, I'm always game for a chat. And until next time, stay safe and keep up the smart consulting sourcing game. Au revoir for now and happy sourcing.
You've been listening to Smart Consulting Sourcing, the only podcast about consulting procurement. We hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, hit the website at consultingquest.com. Find us on LinkedIn, Twitter, and YouTube. For questions and comments, send an email to ellen.lafitte@consultingquest.com. See you next time.